The 8th chapter, verse 28 through 34. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come to torment us before the time? And there was a great way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he should depart out of their coasts. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. We have brought messages concerning Satan, the devices of Satan, and we today realize that Satan does not like for us to expose him. We pointed out the various names that are given unto Satan throughout the Scripture. We pointed out how that he tries to deceive, that he does possess many lost people in the sense that they are workers of Satan. And then also we pointed out that many people today are superstitious, and this superstition is the result of being influenced by the works of the devil. He oppresses in many ways, and people are superstitious in this respect. Then we pointed out that Satan himself is a created being, and that he can only move, he can only act as God enables him or God permits him. Many of the false religions and worship today is growing out of the works of Satan. Last Sunday we pointed out or showed you some of the devices that Satan is using in trying to destroy those that are the children of God. He's trying to tear down the works. He's trying to deceive, and one of the things that he definitely is working on, and that is the second coming of the Lord. He tries to say to people that the Lord is not coming for a long wait, long time. Put it off. You have nothing to worry about. And then also we know that the devils, that they recognize and they know the Lord Jesus Christ, because even as we read in this passage of Scripture, they recognize that Jesus, thou Son of God, they recognize that Jesus was the Son of God. Now the occults that worship, but they do not realize that they're being possessed or that they are working hand in hand with Satan. And as a result of it, that many of them are going to continue on in this. The church is going to be raptured. And as the church is raptured, the religion of the world is going to carry on. And one day at the end of the tribulation period, you'll find that the false church is going to be overthrown, that the government is going to throw them off, and they're going to laugh at the fall of the false church. Because that they were deceived, they're going to sap money, they're going to draw, will continue to draw on the government, and they're reaching out and desiring that the government should help them in these various things. Now these things devise or are stemming from the works of Satan. He is going about trying to destroy, trying to do away with true religion, those who preach and teach the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we pointed out that there are many churches springing up today that call themselves even the Church of Satan. The first place in 1966 when this man, I can't call his name now, but anyway, when he declared himself to be the high priest of Satan, that in his church that he uses for a pulpit stand, I understand that it is a glass enclosure, that it is like we might think of a glass tank, and there's a table like on the top of it, and in this it's filled with formaldehyde, and floating in this is a body of a dead baby. They're using this as a part of their worship. And people today are falling in with this. Many of them are saying that we're the followers of Satan. And they're out and out in the open with this. They're not ashamed of it. They don't care. They are not taught the Word of God. And there is now a difference between people being demon-possessed and demon-oppressed. We preached a sermon on this. The demons, the devils, they oppress those of us who are Christians. And I believe that he has gone to work in our midst because that he has attacked many of our members. And he has brought epidemics, even seemingly of flu and the like of that, because I can look back and I realize that 3 weeks ago, that as far as I knew, none of our membership were in the hospital. And then as I look at it today, that there are many and seem like there are more and more that are being affected. And I believe that it's Satan working. Not the fact that he possesses them, but he is oppressing those who are the children of the Lord. He's trying to destroy. There are many who think that our country today is a Christian nation. But when the outside world looks at us and says, why, this nation, the United States, no longer is a Christian nation, but it is a heathen country, that they are overall, they're not serving the true God. And so we like to look at it and realize that the things that are going on in many of the tribes where we used to look at and say that they're heathen countries in Africa, go down into the tribes of Mexico, and then also into Brazil and some of the islands scattered around where the gospel has not been preached for many, many years, that they have those that are possessed with demons. There are those that practice witchcraft. There are those that practice voodoo and various false religions. These things are coming right into our nation. And we're going to see more and more of it unless there's a revival that sweeps our nation, the United States. These are things that were at one time were strangers to our country. We used to laugh at a time in which that people would say, well, now here's a rain doctor or one that can cause it to rain. We used to hear about this in maybe in some of the movies or things like this. And we'd laugh at it and say, why, nobody. God controls the weather. Man can't make it rain. But you know what? While we were out in Texas a couple of years ago, that they had paid a man to cause it to rain in the southern part of Texas. They paid him a great price. And if he could make it rain by a certain date, then he received something like $10,000-$12,000. And it rained, and he was paid for that. But up around the Lubbock era, in the plain part there, that there was another group of people who needed rain, and they had made up money. I think it was maybe $5,000 or $10,000 that they were going to give it, if it rained by a certain date. Time while we were there, time was running out. But we know that it belongs unto God, that he can cause it to rain on the just and the unjust. But yet there are people today think that one man has power that he might be able to cause it to rain, cause a whole country to be, or a whole area of the country to be affected, and water would fall on this. Then also we look at it many times about those that practice voodoo, where that they say they'll make a replica or an image of a little individual. And they will say, now here I'm going to cause a pain to go through you. And they maybe stick a pin or take a knife and cut this doll or this image. Why, paganism. It certainly is, but we have it right here in our own country. We're seeing this. And then another thing that if you read, maybe you haven't yet, but you will be reading this week in your news bulletin. Brother, we got a letter from Brother Young Ho Lee, our missionary, to Korea, one that we're supporting. And he says, I am the target of a witch doctor over here, that he's trying to put a curse on me, that he is trying to stop the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we've got a woman that's coming to our church now, to our mission there, and she has practiced witchcraft. She's not made a profession of faith, but she's coming into our services. And so we need to pray for Brother Lee, especially as he works there as the powers of the devil, that he will put everything in his way trying to stop the witness, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be aware of these things today in our country that we're living in, that it is a known fact that there are thousands of people today who practice witchcraft. They're registered, they're recorded in the records here of our own nation that they are witches and that they're not ashamed of it and they're approved. But we go back a few years, possibly 400 or 500 years, and we read of a woman by the name of Joan of Arc who was supposedly a witch. And as a result of her letting it be known that she was a witch and she practiced witchcraft, they burnt her to the stake. So you see what a change has come in our nation. We need to look at these things. We need to realize that there is no difference today in our country than what it was in some of the heathen countries, because some of the practices are going on here today. And unless that we are confronted with them, unless that we put them down, this thing's not going to get any better. Now we know and we realize that where the gospel is preached, that the demons do not possess like that they would in a country where the gospel is never preached. But let me tell you, as the gospel preaching is declining, going downhill, then there's more of this false gods and false cults that are coming in to our land. And we need to be aware of this. Now let me point out something else as we go along. In the message here, we want to deal with those that are possessed with demons or with devils. There is a difference in one who is mentally retarded or mentally unbalanced and one who is actually possessed with demons, with the devils. Now, as we look at the man here, the man of Gadara, and we see some things about it, the Scripture teaches us that this man was possessed with devils. In the 28th verse, he says they were possessed with devils. And there are many that are affected. There are many that are, their lives are given over completely unto demons or unto devils. There's another thing that we notice about one who is possessed with devils, that they are exceeding fierce. For the Scripture says that this man was exceeding fierce, that he was not safe to be around. And we find people today that many of them, that they're not fit to be around. They're dangerous to be around. And many times we will avoid their company. Now, it does not necessarily mean that they are demon-possessed, but in their heart, that there is wickedness in their heart, and they would just as soon take your life as to look at you. And so these that are demon-possessed, life doesn't mean anything whatsoever, and they can take one another's lives, and they think nothing about it. Then another thing we notice in those that were demon-possessed, that he was separated from the rest of the people. The Scripture tells us that he dwelt among the tombs, that he went out away from the rest of the living people, but he went out here where the dead people were. And this is where that he made his abode. He would go into the tombs. Then also in the book of Mark, we would read in the 5th chapter and in the 3rd verse where that we hear this. He says, "And who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." They were not able to fasten him down. They were not able to lock him up to the place that he wouldn't be dangerous. And seemingly when they would lock him up or whenever they would tie him up, that he would escape. There'd be some way, whether it was a supernatural power, whether the demons would come and take the chains off from him, but they were not able to keep him bound. And then also we read in the book of Luke, in his account of this, in the 8th chapter and the 27th verse, he tells us this. He says that he wear no clothes, neither abode in any man's house or any house, but in the tombs. This is another indication that we see that the devil is trying to encourage, the devil is trying to work on, and that is that he might undress, that he might take off the clothes or the garment. Many people today are not completely demon-possessed, but I believe that it's the work of the devil that's causing people to have the desire to expose their bodies, that they're not ashamed when they walk down the street without any shirt on or without any blouse on, or many of them that in their worship that they have nude women to take part in their worship service. There's no shame, there's no disgrace whatsoever. And so we see the way that Satan affects, way that the demons affect individually. Different ones react in different ways. And we find that when this man, the demons were cast out, that he came to himself. We find that he was clothed and in his right mind. Now, we find also that in the book of Mark, again, if you will, in the 5th chapter, and in the 4th verse, we read this. He says, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. There was no way whatsoever that they could bind him. There was no way that they could keep him in chains. But each time, he would break them in pieces. They'd chained him, no doubt, many times, but each time there was a strength, there was a power that he was able to break them. And then also we find that the devils or the demons in him, as we pointed out before, and we pointed this out, as you read through the Scripture, you'll find that they recognize that Jesus is the Christ. They knew him because they raised this question. They recognized when Jesus came to him, he says, have you come to torment us even before the time? Have you come before the regular time that has been set that you would torment us? We realize that in the book of the Revelation, in the 19th chapter, and in the 20th verse, we find where that the beast and the false prophet, which are representatives of the part of the false Godhead, there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of our triune God that we serve. But we find that Satan has imitated, and he has his false prophet, which is a false, what we might think of as the Holy Spirit of God. We find the beast, which is representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then Satan himself, which would be in comparison to the Heavenly Father. But here we see in the 20th verse of this 19th chapter, and the beast was taken, and him, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And then also in the 20th chapter and in the 10th verse, we see Satan himself is going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. He says the 10th verse of the 20th chapter, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. They knew that they were going to be tormented. They knew they were going to be cast into the lake of fire. And when Jesus came, they raised the question, have you come to torment us before the time? And so we see that this is the way that Satan works. They recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also, as you read on in this passage of Scripture, these demons ask that they not be cast out and left without a body. They ask that they might go into the swine that were feeding a great way off. They desired this. They said, let us go over here to the hogs and let us possess their bodies, because they don't want to be without a body. They need to be in someone. They want to dwell in somebody or something. And so they asked to go into the hogs. And as you read the account of this, that the hogs acted just like this man did. They were crazy. They went violently down over a steep cliff and into the waters, and they drowned themselves. And this is what happens many times with people who are demon-possessed, that they want to drown themselves. Or seemingly there's something that will attract them to the water. They're trying to cast off the demon. Or many times they'll run into the fire that we'll be reading about in just a little bit. These things are the works of Satan. These are the things that we need to realize that we're confronted with, that the devil is working and he's trying to deceive the children of God, and he's possessing those, many of them, that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then I want us to look on over in the book of Matthew in the 17th chapter, and in verse 14 through 21, We find in the 17th chapter, Jesus had gone into the mountain. He had taken with him Peter, James, and John. And this is what we know as the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was transfigured before them. While Peter, James, and John were looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, there appeared Moses and Elijah. Their garments were white. The Scripture says, whiter than any bleach or any fuller could make them. And they saw them. They bowed down their head. And then when they looked up again, they only saw the Lord Jesus Christ. But they said, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. But anyway, while they were up there, the disciples were waiting at the foot of the hill, at the foot of the mountain. There was a man who brought his son. Now, I don't know whether it was just a little boy, whether it was a grown man, but nevertheless, he brought his son unto the disciples and asked them to cast the devils out of him. They recognized, he knew there was something wrong with him. And as they did, the disciples were not able to do this. They were not able to cast out the devil. And so whenever the Lord Jesus comes back down, we find that he points out to them that they were lacking in faith, that they were not able to do this. And as a result of it, they wondered, they questioned about it. And in the 21st verse, he says, howbeit this goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And so in this time that this man was affected by the demons or by the devils that were in him, the Scripture says that oft time, not all the time, but oftentimes, that he would fall into the fire. He says other times that he would fall into the water. Then also the Scripture tells us in Mark, in the 9th chapter, and in the 18th verse, he says this. He says, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Here I see a man who is tortured, a man who tears himself, who bites himself, gnaws on his own flesh, and this demon or the devil that's within him causes him to fall into the fire. And he doesn't realize this, and seemingly that when he has taken all that his physical body can stand, then he passes out as a result of this. He faints away. He no longer can do this. Now Jesus came, and as he did, even at the time Jesus approaching, that he attacked this man, and Jesus cast the demons out, or cast the devils out of him. The disciples asked the question, why couldn't we do this? And he points out that it was by the lack of faith. Now, I believe that this day in which we're living, that we'll see many that are saying that we're casting out devils. There are many that are saying that they're doing divine healing. There are various things that they're pretending that they're able to do. But their works do not show that they are the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they're not the works of Almighty God. Many of our Baptist people today are falling in line with them. They're practicing these various things. And if they don't practice them, they go in their meetings and they put their approval upon the things that are going on. There are many deceivers. God says they will come in the last day. People today are paying thousands of dollars to be healed. They're paying thousands of dollars to have the demons cast out. And they're not doing this. They're trying to buy something that is only a gift of God that God's able to do. And as we look at it today, many people are falling in line with this type of teaching. They're saying, well, just so we can get rid of it, this infirmity that we have, if they can heal us, what makes the difference in which way? And we find that these gifts were given to the apostles. They were here in the day in which that Christ lived, and those apostles afterward, the gift of healing. And so we need to recognize this. I want us to look on over into another incident where one that was possessed with the devil. And this is in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. And I've read this over and over and over again. But as I read it, I find something in here this time that I didn't realize before. He says, and it came to pass in Acts 16:16, as they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, and which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us. which is Luke and possibly Silas. But anyway, he says, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, she did this many days. Now, when I first read this, it seemed to be that it was something that she could not help. But yet, we realize in this, if you look at it, that many days she would come along and she'd point out, here's the servant of the Most High God. She was not recognizing them and giving them their rightful position. But I believe what she was doing, she was throwing off on them, being the servant of the Most High God. Oh, yes, these men have salvation. These men are the God of the Most High, are the servants of the Most High God. And so in this, he says, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. As I read this, I believe that what happened, that she was throwing off and continued to do this, because I know the Apostle Paul well enough in his writings that when one was desiring to be saved, that he would point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read in the Scripture, they accepted him. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, many of them. And had she been wanting to know the way of salvation, that he would have shown her, just like he did the man that went to kill himself on down in this chapter. And he says, do thyself no harm, we are all here. And he brought him out and he cried for a light or a lamp. And as he did, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he preached unto him. He told him how to be saved. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And so here was a man that asked how to be saved. And he told him. Here was another one that was throwing off, one who did not recognize him as something that she would want. But he turns, and in the name of Jesus Christ, he casts the devils out. There are many people today are going to individuals just like her, that she was possessed with the spirit of divination. She was a soothsayer. She was a fortune teller. There are many today who are going to the stars to find their fortune. They want to find out what this is. There are those that are looking to the Ouija board. They're following this. There are those who are going to seances to find out what's going on in the world that those loved ones have passed into. There are those that practice other things. But as we look at these, I believe the only thing that's happening are these individuals are turning their backs upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that can tell us what's going to happen tomorrow and tell us the truth about it. He's the only one that has an answer for our problems today. We need to turn unto Him instead of turning to some individual who is supposedly able to talk to spirits, those that will make you to believe in ghosts and things like this. And yet, if they would turn unto the Lord and find rest and peace for their soul, then God's able to give them an answer. But instead, they go out, and many times they become so possessed with the demons that they die, and maybe even go so far that they would take their lives. Now, you today, you may say, well, it wouldn't hurt to find out. It wouldn't hurt to experiment. One time won't hurt anybody. And I want to, in closing the message, I want to tell you of a woman that her whole life was possessed or was affected by one time going to a seance where that she was a woman of great means, had plenty of money. Most every one of you, if I would ask you, have you ever seen or heard of a Winchester rifle? Some of you say, well, I've got one. I know what you're talking about. Certainly you do. He's heard. He's a popular man. But anyway, there was a man that got the patent on this, and he made many. He produced many rifles. And as he produced these rifles, they sold and more and more and more. He became a millionaire. But anyway, he contracted a disease. I don't remember whether it was tuberculosis or something, but it took him away early in his life. A young millionaire left his wife with a great sum of money. And one night she was so disturbed, she had not been able to adjust to this death or the passing of her husband, that she went to where they were going to talk to the spirits. She was a little woman of less than 5 foot tall. She dressed up and got her clothes on, whatever she wanted to wear. I don't remember now. But anyway, as she went there, she didn't let anybody know who she was. She didn't think they did. But the one that was supposedly talking to the spirits, described a man that fit her husband to perfection. It just sounded exactly like him. And so out of her curiosity, just one time, she wanted to hear, she wanted to know what he had to say. And of course, the medium carried on a conversation back and forth. Before that it was over, they led her to believe that unless that she provided a place for to entertain and to make a place for demons to dwell, that she would be haunted the rest of her life by the ghosts of everyone that was ever killed by a Winchester rifle. Sarah Winchester is her name. She just met one time. She's just going to see if she could get some help. And she went there. And she was wound up in this thing in just one trip. She went back to her home. She had a big home. But anyway, she built. She hired, I believe it was 22 men to build. Some were bricklayers, some were carpenters, some were those that would put down tile and carpeting and things like that. She employed 22 men to build and tear down and rebuild and build and rebuild for a period of, seemed like it was 35 to 36 years. She continued to do this. She built a room or built a house which had at least 160 rooms in it. She had plenty of money. She built this, and every night she would sleep in a different room. She wouldn't stay in one room. She had 18 servants that worked in this house, took care of it for her. One night she went to see what was going on, and as a result of it, she became a victim of this. She built a large assembly room. And as she did, this was a place that she would sit food and set it out here at midnight. The demons were to come and to take of it, to eat of it. She sent all over the country and brought chefs all over the world and brought chefs in to prepare their delicacies, the finest of food that they knew how to prepare. And she'd set them there. And then years later, that one night in one of her rooms, there was a great earthquake there in California. That's where her house was in the state of California, called the Winchester House. But anyway, during this earthquake, the plaster on the ceiling fell. She took this as a warning and said, "You'd better get out of here." She went out and she had a houseboat built, which was, she said that it had been revealed to her there was going to be a great flood. And she built this houseboat and she lived on it for 6 years. There wasn't any flood, and finally she came back and reopened up the Winchester House and lived there the rest of her days. There was a woman by the name of Mary Eddy Baker who founded Christian Science, tried to visit her. She wouldn't have anything to do with her, wouldn't let her in. She lived in this house, all in her servants, and she died at the age of about, I believe it was 85 or 86. Being one who would entertain demons. What I want you to see, why I've given you this illustration today, is that you may look and you may say, "Well, Brother Ginn, it won't hurt me to find out about this. It wouldn't hurt for me to put my hands on the Ouija board and just find out what's going on. Get one answer." But I'll tell you what happens. When you get one answer, you want another one. You want another one. And then another one. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that are being engulfed in this horoscope thing. They wouldn't go to work. They wouldn't do anything until they've read their horoscope. We're going to be bringing a message, I don't know whether it'll be next Sunday or the following Sunday, on these various things, just right along the line of this. But one time, you can become addicted to it. That you can, out of so much curiosity and so much anxiety in the thing, you say, "I just can't wait. I want to find out what's going to happen to me." Some of the playwriters, they won't produce their plays. They won't have an opening unless that it's on a certain day that matches up with the stars and things like that. People today are being snowed under by the works of Satan. They're people that are being affected by the works of Satan instead of turning unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who can give them peace. And the devil will flee away. The devil will turn away. The Scripture says if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. And that's what I want you to do, to be aware of these things so that you can resist him and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we live in the last days, there are going to be seducing spirits. There's going to be the spirits of the devil. And we need to be able to confront them. We need to be able to battle them. And people that are possessed with the demons, the devils, I wouldn't want to be in their place. And I want you to be warned against them. And I want you to look, and I want you, not that you would be partakers of it, that you might be able to know and be able to resist the powers of Satan. Because as we pointed out in our first text when we preached on Satan, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Other, we can have a fight with our fellow men, and we can beat one another black and blue, and in a week, 2 weeks' time, we're over this. But this battle with Satan is going on, and it's going to get worse until the time in which that Jesus Christ comes back. And so we want to show you, we want to give you every warning to prepare you that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You're here today, and you're not a child of God. You're a victim, which that Satan could come into your life and totally possess you. And you'd be doing things and engaging in things that you'd say, I didn't realize they could ever be. To a certain extent, Satan has your life. You're on his side. He's the one that's guiding your life and directing you right now. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who comes and says, take my Savior, Jesus Christ. Trust him and let him give you eternal life. So today, if you can trust him as your personal Savior, the Bible says you'll not be ashamed. You'll not be afraid to confess him as Lord and Savior. And that's what we want to do today, to invite you to make this public confession of Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you can do that, you come as we stand together.